כל הקשיים. מה שאני מדעתי לדוגמה.
I think we'll go ahead and get started. This is the showcase for Sprint 49 for the OpenLMIS core work. And I'll give a very quick update and then let us showcase. And maybe today's showcase can be a short one because I know we have ongoing sort of bugs and regression as we lead up to the 3.3 release here. I'll share my screen and maybe someone can let me know if it's coming through.
Yeah, we can see.
Okay. Excellent. So this was a two-week sprint where the first part of the sprint, you can kind of see from the graph, was finishing the features, bunch of last story and task tickets for OpenLMIS 3.3, the last few things we wanted to, you know, get in the feature set. And then the team stopped and did regression testing for a couple days, and now this last day or so, we've started fixing some of the important bugs that came out of that. So that's why a bunch of bugs got added to the sprint and the graph went up a little. So I think during showcase today, we can sort of focus on the stories and tasks. There are probably so many bugs, it would be hard to mention every single one or to demo every single one, but we'll just see how time goes as we get into time. So the work this sprint was 67 story points, which is actually really good. To look at the chart real quick. So 67 story points is one of our bigger sprints. Of course, there were a couple of sprints that were a little larger point-wise, but 67 is still actually quite good. You'll see this last sprint had a much bigger stretch of red, meaning we started doing a lot more bugs, and less of green, meaning less of the vaccine features, which makes sense for this release. That's exactly what we, you know, what we expected. For Team Ill, I'll just mention Team Ill got didn't do story points on their tickets, but got the most tickets done that they finished in a sprint in a long time. There were almost 20 tickets moved to done, a whole mix of things, including some features like CCE serial numbers and fire and some bugs, but a lot of things like working on demo data or making a two-pager or having a survey about the upcoming community meeting. So a lot of things done is great. The one other thing I'll highlight is the sonar, and let me reload this morning to make sure I'm getting accurate data here. When I looked yesterday, we had all but one project passing. Okay, it looks like right now there's all but two projects passing, so that's much better. A week or so ago, we had a lot more failures on the showcase when we looked. Today, there's only two. The reference data service looks like it just started failing. And real quick, it's because of something technical debt. So there must be some code smell or something that it just flagged. And the other one is the reporting service, which it's flagging for test coverage. So those are the two to look at. Other than that, 19 of our components are passing the sonar, which is great. The other thing I'll say is there's a lot of bugs still going on. We're in the middle of the release process. So these are not normal sprints. Every kind of day, at the beginning and end of day, we're checking in on Slack and coordinating about, you know, whether we're testing and fixing another round of bugs. Like right now, there's a few bugs in progress from this last round. Once those are done, we'll move back into a round of regression testing. And then after that, issue the RC candidate and really get going on the release process for 3.3. So that's my very quick overview. I think this was a very good sprint. We got things done. And also Mary Jo and Vidya and Jake have all been to Gavi in Geneva and demoed the software on Monday and Tuesday and again on Wednesday in Copenhagen, actually, at UNICEF. They repeated the demo, which was a new request. People said, come to Copenhagen and show the demo there. So they did. And a ton of interest in all of this vaccine functionality. So the demos were successful, and thanks to everybody who was part of finishing things so that this 3.3 could really get a good demo in front of the global community that had really pushed for this. So that's my whole update. If there's any questions or comments on how this last sprint went or how our regression is going, I'd love to hear any of those, and then we'll start showcasing.
I just wanted to say that it's great to hear that the demos went well and that hopefully we will get more implementations for OpenLMIS.
Yep, exactly. They spent most of Tuesday talking with country-specific stakeholders who kind of signed up and said they were interested in talking in more detail and seeing a one-on-one version of the demo Tuesday. So that they spent a lot of their Tuesday doing that, and it'll be exciting to hear the report back about interest in implementations. One other comment, I'll just say thank you to Sam and to Joanna about arranging this regression cycle. I mean, all this testing I feel has been very organized, and the test cases have been in much better shape. Last time we did this was 6 months ago when we were releasing 3.2.1, and it seemed then the Zephyrs had a lot of work to do, or we didn't have it organized and kind of know our process every single day. And today it's much better organized and the test cases are in much better shape. So I know a lot of other people have also helped clean them up, but especially Joanna and Sam, thank you both.
Thank you all, especially you to Sam for helping me organize the regression testing. I also think that this went much more smoothly than in August, I think, or well, than the previous time.
Yes, I agree. This round has been a lot better. I think the pre-planning and making sure that everyone was included in how we were going to test every day has been helpful. But also, Team Parrot has just really been busting their butt and getting all of these test cases executed and then creating all the bugs. Yeah, it's just been great.
Okay, cool. Well, on that note, let's start with showcasing some of all of this, the features that got done, and these bugs that are finished. So who would like the presenter first?
Me.
Okay, great. And we see your screen.
Okay. So first ticket is about missing borders, sometimes in Chrome, sometimes in Firefox, generally in requisition grid and in view shipment. So on requisition grid in Firefox, I will show you that we have all borders. And on Chrome also. And when we have input, there are also all borders displayed. And shipment view. Yeah, here we also have all borders. Do you have any questions?
Was that in Chrome or Firefox?
Both. It was from, and here we have.
Okay.
Firefox.
Great.
Next one is about filter button. Here I added a number of filters on button, and if any filter is active, then the filter button is blue, and on the other hand, if no filter is selected, then it's gray. And if we click cancel, then our filters are not saved. Maybe CCE. Okay, so maybe functioning. You have only inventory items with functional status and here we have blue button with one filter. If we remove this and doesn't we want to click search, it doesn't change. And we have also here this selection. If we click search again, it's gray, and this, our filter is removed. And I believe that's it. Do you have any question about filter button?
No, that's exciting. Thanks.
Okay. So, can you see my screen?
Oh, we lost the screen sharing.
Okay.
Oh, now we can see the screen with the Jira board.
Okay. So next one is about alignment of sort and filter components. And now there are in the same line. And on this stock management, also we have these buttons in line. And I believe that's it. I also fixed two bugs, one about printing a requisition. There was just an existing variable, and also back about no permissions to initiate requisition. And now we checked if user has requisition create right, and if he has, then we display a proceed button. And I believe that's it. Do you have any questions?
Any questions?
No, no questions.
Okay. So who wants to be next?
I can go next. Okay, so can you see my screen?
Yeah.
Yep.
Great. So the first ticket I have is print proof of delivery. And let's have a look. So I've opened up some POD before, and there's a print button here. And that's how the report looks. I tried to match UI as closely as possible. Okay, so do you have any questions about this report?
I have a question. So I remember there's some sort of outstanding issue about the VVM status, where if the program or something does not have a VVM status, then it doesn't show that column. Is that still kind of a minor issue?
So it shows this VVM status column regardless of whether it's shown on UI. And that's a limitation of Jasper, really, because we cannot conditionally hide columns depending on the data that we select. And there would also be a problem with resizing the rest of those columns. So I think we decided to have this VVM status column at all times.
Is there like a ticket or anything to that kind of like for the future that kind of addresses that, or?
No, but I can create one.
Okay.
Okay, good catch.
Okay, so any other questions? All right, so I'll move to the next ticket, which was about showing display unit for dispensables. And I believe the problem was that the dispensing unit didn't show up for vaccines. Yeah, this was the original issue. So we can have a look at API program and see if it shows up correctly now. So let's open up some requisition. Yeah, and as you can see, the display unit is now here. And dispensing unit was renamed to display unit. Okay, so do you have any questions about this ticket?
Is it possible to show or like a requisition with like different kinds of display units? Because this, I think, is just the vaccine type.
So maybe let me create one.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that looks good.
Okay. So I think I still had one ticket in the done column. Let me quickly find it. Oh, so this was just about the demo data. I had problem loading demo data on a local Postgres instance. And the problem was that the dates were not in ISO format. So I changed them and it works now. And that's really all I had to showcase. Do you have any questions?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. So whom should I pass the presentable? I can go first. I'm still preparing. Yeah, so can you see my screen?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So let's start with the first one. So this was a bug found after a factor on the fulfill screen. So now the VPOD screen actually supports the ideal product model. So let's say that. Let's manage the view. So as you can see, the grouping of the line items is done the same as on the fulfill screen. So we have the commodity type, then we have trade item and all the lots that are assigned. So it's pretty much the same, I believe, except the sorting. So yeah.
I have a question, Mateusz. So I see for Pentavac and for Tenavac, there's only one quote lot, which is no lot. Is there a reason why it's on a separate line from the trade item?
I think that this was done before the merging or code, I don't know, on the fulfill screen was done. And actually, this was just a bug created for fixing the lack of actually, there were no line items in the POD screen. So the bug doesn't mention actually any sorting features and merging those one-liners, one-lots lines.
So is there a ticket? It's different from the other screens.
I don't think so.
Can we create one?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I will create one just after the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Maybe if you mentioned Chunksun in the Slack, because I agree, it is a little inconsistency, and you're right, it wasn't part of the scope of this work.
Yeah, sure. So let's move on with the next one. So this was about introducing the respecting the all human rights on the managed POD screen, and basically most of the work was about fetching the list of facilities, splitting the facility selector to the supplying facility and the requesting facility, which have the different set of facilities, and the program remained the same. So maybe as I will log as system manager, you can see that supplying facility won't show up because actually this user doesn't supervise any warehouse, doesn't have actually rights for the shipment. For the shipment edit. So I think that was basically all for this ticket. So maybe I'll just go to the next one. The next one is about fixing bug with the not a lack of update after relogging. Updates on the
the navigation bar. So let me just look as an administrator real quick. As you can see, I have this administration tab here, and when I log in as Tivo, I don't have the one with the administration tab, so this works fine now. And the last one is about improving the non-functioning CCA notification. So now the notification will be sent to the supervising user if device status changes to something else than the functioning status. So I believe it is obsolete and awaiting repair. So let's quickly check that. So let me log as administrator. So I've added one C inventory item, and I also set the administrator email to my personal one. So let me just change status. And this one. Yeah, this is the new one. So as you can see, we have we can see now the date and the actual status of the change. So yeah.
No, we can see it.
Really?
The email.
Yeah. You share.
Oh, man, sorry. So let me just maybe move it here now. One sec. Yeah.
Okay, now we see the Google email.
Sorry for the confusion. So yeah. So you can see in the description real quick. Actually, the subject of the email was the reference name, the name and date was added, and the status was changed. So as you can see, here's the date, and here is the reference name. So are there any questions? If not, I will just stop sharing, and Nicole, you can take over.
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
I stopped sharing already, no?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I still see your screen.
Okay, so I will go next. Let me share my screen. And I must find the card. Okay, can you see it?
Yep, we see it.
Okay, so this sprint I was finishing off the implementation of the ideal product model on the shipment view. So I will go really quick to showcase that. So as you can see, on the previous implementation, we didn't have the rows collapsing if we only have one lot. So I changed that. And as you can see, we only display a single row for a trade item if there are no lots defined. And also there were some confusion about sorting. Actually, it wasn't implemented at that time. So as you can see, if the lot is not defined, it will always go first. If we have this the VVM status defined, they are sorted by the worst to the best. So if we have a VM status with a stage higher than the other lots, we will display that first. So if we have the stage two, it will go before stage one. After that, we are sorting the lots by date. So you can see we have the two dates that are the same. And if that happens, we are actually sorting them by the available second hand, which I believe should be the other way around in this case, because So I will fix that in a sec. I believe the lower stock on end we have, it should go first, right?
Yeah, we should try to close that a lot.
Yeah. Okay, so I will fix that after the showcase. Are there any other questions about this screen?
I have a question. So the no stock available notice, that shows up if there are no stock cards for that orderable, right?
It shows both if there are no stock cards or if we don't have any stock on them. So if a stock card says that we have zero stock of it, of that particular trade item or lot, we are also displaying no stock available as we can't fulfill that point.
Okay.
Are there any other questions? Okay, so I will go back to the Spring View and the second ticket I was working on, and actually the third one is exactly the same bug was date picker not restricting date if we specified a max and min date on any of the elements. The problem there was probably during some version upgrade. The date picker implementation changed its behavior. It was no longer accepting a dynamic parameters passed through the HTML attributes, so that had to be changed to be implemented in the JavaScript. We have done that, but the solutions should work globally for all our date pickers if they have max and min date specified. And I believe that's it from me. I can showcase it really quick if you want me to.
Yeah, on the date picker one, I was wondering if it now has any unit tests or a simple way we'll know if it breaks again.
I was actually implemented a couple of unit tests that should catch this behavior in the future. Unless, of course, the implementation of the bootstrap date picker changes.
Okay.
So, are there any other questions? Okay, so I think that's everyone from the Dynes, and I will be passing the ball to Gdynia. Who wants to present first? Uh, can you hear us, guys?
Oh, and sorry, I was still muted. I said I will go on as soon as you stop sharing.
Okay, so here you go.
Okay, hopefully you can see my screen now.
Yep.
That's great. So I have a couple of bugs assigned to me. Most of them aren't mine, actually. They are Łukasz, who couldn't join us today. Also, most of those bugs cannot be easily showcased, but at least I want to talk about them. So we are all on the same page, what happened with them and how they were fixed. And so starting with those two top ones. So we have a stock card summaries API, making two large requests to reference data, and a similar ticket for the requisition service, making two large requests to reference data. So this was fixed by Łukasz by splitting the requests in case they are too long. So now in the communication between the services, between stock management and reference data and requisition and reference data, if the request is too long, we will be splitting it into several requests and sending multiple requests, then we'll be getting the responses and merging those responses into one. And for this was happening when we are passing a lot of orderables. We have that option to retrieve multiple orderables with one request, and we need to pass the UUIDs as request parameters. So in case we wanted to retrieve a lot of orderables, this request would grow really long. So now, if it's long, we are splitting it. So that's about those first two bugs. Then we have this bug about service accounts just stopping working after server restart. And I cannot easily showcase that as well, but what we are doing now is that we have that initializer in the auth service, and when we do the restart, the auth service calls that initializer for the service accounts, and for all the API keys that we have created in OpenLMIS, we are initiating them so they all work. So we can now restart the server as many times as you want, and those API keys will be initialized to work. Okay, another one is incorrect filtering by multiple values in requisitions for convert endpoint. And this is something that I can kind of showcase. So first of all, we have created a ticket to tackle after 3.3 to change this filter to be consistent with all our other filters, because this filter on the convert to order page is the only filter that we have that allows you to enter a free text, and it really filters by this facility name, code, or program name. Whatever you really want, but for now it was fixed to work. The problem here was that it was returning too many values. So, for example, we were entering a filter to return us only family planning related requisitions, and it was returning all of them. So we can filter now, or filter by multiple values, and we are getting the results that we want to. And we can also filter by the facility code or the program name. This is really returning us all that we have, because we only have family planning requisitions. But if we enter like essential, it doesn't return us anything. Yeah, so this was about the fixes in this endpoint. We also had this small bug with generating feedback list, stopping to work. And as explained in this ticket, this was caused by a function that was renamed. So we can also quickly verify that it works now. So clicking this generate feedback list first synchronizes this shipment, saves it, and then generates this PDF. And the PDF was generated, which means that it's working.
Sebastian, can we go back to that? And then can we go to the UI? So the PDF shows them on separate lines. The like if there's a single trade item with no lots.
Mm-hmm. Also like this this one here, right?
Yeah. Is that intentional?
I guess we just didn't change the report when we changed the UI. So we are probably not intentional.
Okay.
I
thought let's go with this ticket, but can we create a new ticket for that?
Yeah, do you think it should make it to 3.3?
Probably not. I mean, if I had to guess at that, I don't think it would be a critical bug.
Okay. I will create the ticket.
Good catch.
Okay, so moving on, we had this faulty migration in reference data. And this was about making one of the database columns not null, but there could be entries that didn't have values. So the migration would fail, introducing that constraint. And I think this was actually fixed by Chongsun. Just the migration itself, but Łukasz also added some migration tests to make sure that it's all working as expected. And finally, we have updated description for one of the ISA columns in the demo data to explain how the calculated order quantity based on ISA is calculated. And we can take a look at the demo data. So we have the calculated order quantity ISA, and it explains that it's based on ISA configured by commodity type, and that several trade items may fill for one commodity type. Which is what was expected and written in this ticket. And finally, I also want to mention one ticket that is currently in QA and that I have been working on yesterday. We didn't manage to test that yet, but the problem was that there was no facility assignment configuration errors report at all available in our reports. So now it's back, and there were several problems with that report. First of all, this report really only existed in demo data, so it wouldn't be available for any profiles that aren't using demo data. And there were also problems with the HTML and XLS version of this report. We would get exceptions. And the XLS one was fixed by bumping one of the library's versions. And the HTML one error was caused by one of the classes from Jasper becoming deleted in Jasper, in one of the latest versions of the Jasper. But Spring was still using that, so it would be failing with the class not found error. I have fixed that by using the correct class that is not deprecated. And yeah, we can generate this report. Also the other version, the HTML one, or XLS. Or CSV. And finally, there was one more minor problem. So the reports here now have the visible flag. And this flag determines whether the report shows here on the view reports screen. There are some reports that are only available via other screens. Like the CCE one is only available from the CCE screen. And so this report, the facility assignment configuration errors, didn't have the visible flag set. So it wouldn't show up here at all because of that setting in the flag. So the flag was changed to for this report to be visible. And this is all that I wanted to talk about. Are there any questions? Okay, so I guess Pablo can continue.
Okay, so I'll share my screen.
Here it comes, yep.
Okay, so the first ticket I want to talk about is a performance ticket. It was about retrieving order labels. It was taking more than 6 seconds. And it wasn't really a performance issue, but rather a confusion of because we had two endpoints for searching order labels, one that was taking some query parameters like ID, and the second one wasn't, and the second one only returning all order labels, no matter what query parameters we provided. So what I did was I merged the two parameters. Two endpoints. I removed the post search endpoint that is not restful. I like left get order labels endpoint and moved all parameters that was for that first endpoint. I moved to the second one. So the issue was that even if we provided query parameters, it returned all order labels. So I will show you that it's improved now. So if we try to get all order labels, it takes about 2 seconds. So this was this is on Malavi data. I think it was measured for original ticket on our performance data. So that's a reason that these numbers are different. And now if I try to get our drivers for 10 IDs, we have 10 IDs here. It took take more or less than 200 milliseconds. I think it's pretty good number because for getting one orderable, it's also about almost the same time. And also during this ticket, I did some REST improvements for other for that endpoint. So if I, for example, provide for valid valid query param, I provide some random value. It should read to empty content. But if I provide some invalid query param, so random string, it should read to an error that this query param is not supported. And I think it's the only, for now, it's the only endpoint that has this validation. And we should add this validation also for other endpoints in the future. Do you have any questions for this ticket?
Hi, Pavel. I actually have kind of an overall question related to this and the other ticket about getting like a URL to this order endpoint is too long. So I guess for Sebastian as well. See that there's different kinds of parameters here, right? The orderables endpoint ID, but also specifying name or code. I just wanted to double check that when we are checking out the request to the orderables endpoint, that we are doing that correctly. Meaning, like, if you specify a bunch of IDs and also a name, you are only chunking out the IDs and not chunking out the name as well, so that each request is also including the name. Does that make sense? I'm just kind of wondering if that kind of edge case has been handled in the code.
Yeah, that's a good question, and I would have to check that in the code. This was actually Łukasz Tickets, who isn't here with us, but yeah, we'll take a look and make sure that this is what we are doing.
Okay, thank you. That's all the questions I had.
Okay, so I think I will move to the next ticket. It was a bug. Originally, this was a bug about some in report, some stock card line items was they have some products that shouldn't be there, but we couldn't reproduce that issue. But during reproducing that original error, I found another error that physical inventory screen showed duplicated products. It was caused by recent work on the on stock screens related to ideal product model refactor. So the issue was that we are fetching available products plus lots and combination of them from different sources, like some of them from kind of Wolfie for me, or some of them directly from orderable that is Docker Summary returns, and the products somehow the different sources have the same product, and it was causing an error that always on screen it was sold as duplicated, and the backend, the API didn't allow to post that event that had duplicated line items. So I fixed that, and I also added a unit test, so the issue is covered at the test, because this was really code programmatic, I think, error. So I think that's it from this one. Do you have any questions for this? If not, I will move to next ticket. This was back about the total requisition cost. It was not calculating for emergency requisitions. After we changed the status from initiate to submitted, this was caused by, I think, by a recent emergency requisition redesign, because emergency requisitions are getting line items directly from UI, not like regular requisitions that line items for regular requisitions are populated in API based on some response from reference data, but emergency are directly from UI, and UI didn't send a price per pack field because it's a reference data field, and it should be populated directly from reference data in a requisition service. Not it shouldn't be sent by UI. And what I did was on update requisition, when we call put for requisition, I fetch the price per packs from reference data and all, for all line items I fill this field for all line items. I think this bug was hard to foresee. I think such issues that are related both to the API and to UI, it's something that maybe is good to add some Selenium test for such cases. But I created, of course, I created a test on API, so the price per pack is fetched from programmatic drivers, not from the UI. But I think Selenium tests are something that it's a good each case for adding some functional test, I think. Do you have any questions for this?
No questions.
Okay, so think I had also two other tickets. One was a sub ticket for this fly of the Rebis to fill that Nikodem sold. So I won't get into details of that. And I added performance profilers to all the recognition endpoints that didn't have that performance profilers yet. So we can measure what is causing the most problems with performance in recognitions. So I think that's it for me. I will stop sharing now. And I think it's all from the developer side.
Okay, so is there anyone on Team Ill that wants to share what they've worked on? I can do a quick recap of our regression testing so far. So as everyone knows, we've only completed phase one of regression testing, and I just wanted to point out that we had about 125 test cases in that phase one regression that was successfully tested by Team Parrot in about the course of 2 days. And just for comparison, the last regression testing or release candidate testing that we did, there were 118 test cases for the entire phase, and that took about 2 weeks. So, I mean, this is exceptional. And I just wanted to thank everyone for taking part in that. We do have about 32 test cases that failed that caused 22 bugs, and the remaining are blocked test cases that I've been updating so that we can retest. And our current status of bugs is we have about 18 and only 3 are still in progress. And this does not include the 2 performance bugs that Team Parrot had pulled in before we had started the regression testing. So I was hoping I could get some feedback on where we are currently in regression testing and how we feel about finishing these remaining bugs as well as the 2 performance bugs.
So I think most of the blocker and critical bugs are either marked as done or they are waiting for review or testing.
Okay.
Only this single ticket that I asked about yesterday. So it's currently assigned to Nikodem, who has just started working on this. This is about error behavior not being consistent with the rest of the system. The issue here is that the error appears immediately rather than after focusing of out of the field. Nikodem, maybe you can talk more about this. Like, do you have an estimate? I think we have given it 5-story points, so it's definitely not a quick win here.
I'm sorry, this is the one that we went back and forth on, and it actually isn't a regression. Is that correct?
Yeah, I checked and it seemed like it wasn't a regression. I think, Sam, you double-checked that?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't add the comment in here, but I did check it yesterday also on demo V3 and saw the same behavior.
Yeah, so I can confirm that this is not a regression, it's how the screen was working pretty much from the beginning.
Yeah.
And changing this behavior might be quite problematic, as it's really rooted into the how the whole screen works. I'm currently working on changing the behavior, but I already have some successes, but still there are some other custom places that I will have to update. So the errors are displaying as they should at this point, but the error display on the pagination and as well as the tabs is broken at this point. It shows Arial then the errors on the grid itself. I will have to work around with that and try to fix.
Okay, so given that it's not a regression, should we lower its priority, or do we still want to keep it as a critical?
I think we should lower the priority. And is there a way to revert the changes that Nicodem has made and just do a retest to make sure that the behavior is the same as before fixing this ticket?
I didn't push any changes to,
okay.
to the okay. branch to master, so it's pretty much how it works.
Okay, great. So with all of us in agreement, I'm going to change the priority to major for this. So then that means we actually only have these two bugs that you've actually demoed and are just getting finished, correct?
Yeah, and with this, with Nicodem's ticket not becoming a blocker, I think we can finish those two remaining ones by tomorrow. I am less certain about those two tickets about performance. Which I guess we also want to include in, include before we finish the phase one. But I guess, I guess tomorrow or Friday is feasible. I'm hoping tomorrow, but I'm not sure.
Okay. And the next phase of testing, just as a refresher, is all of the new features. And so there are about, I believe, 33 or 35 test cases for these new features. So I don't think it will be as tedious as the first phase, but we definitely want to focus on behaviors through each of the screens for these new features. Okay, so if anyone doesn't have anything else to share, I think that's it. Are there any questions about the regression or the next steps?
Well, I guess we are not doing any planning today. We are not including any further tickets, right? We are continuing focusing on fixing those.
Correct. And, you know, I believe that means that you're not starting the next sprint either. And you'll just continue to work on the bugs assigned to sprint 49 and keep sprint 49 open.
Okay.
Oh, well,
I'm not sure if that's, if that's the best, but yeah, definitely the plan sounds good. So
yeah.
We'll be on fixing those bugs. I will talk with Nicodem about this, how we want to handle this, whether we want to just open a new sprint and move the tickets or continue in this sprint.
Okay.
And that's a strong preference.
Okay. Yeah, because it will also include any bugs that we find, you know, in the next phase of regression testing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.